Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday worship on Zoom, now live, or whether you join us later on watching this from the comfort of your own home. I'd like to begin this morning with a reading from Psalm 29, a psalm that reminds us that when God speaks, everything comes into life, everything is transformed. Ascribe to the Lord, all you mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength and majesty. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He breaks the world into. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. And in the temple, in his temple, all people cry, glory, glory, glory. This is what we want to cry this morning in our worship. Glory to our God. Glory for his incredible goodness to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to die for us. Glory for his Holy Spirit. Thanks be given to God for allowing us to worship him freely, to come before him into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. I know that if I speak, the Lord might bring some comfort to your hearts. Some might even come to know the Lord more intimately. But when the Lord speaks, everything transforms. And it is my prayer this morning, alongside you as a fellowship, that the Lord will speak to us as we encounter him in this way in our worship, as we pray together, as we sing together, as we listen to his word together. He will break the strongholds that stops us from enjoying the promised land, his promise that are alive here and now today for us. We will ascribe greatness to the Lord because we want his glory, his holiness, his righteousness to be restored in this land, throughout the world, in our midst indeed. So let's pray together, and then I'll hand it over to the harpers to lead us into restore, O Lord, the honor, the glory, the power of your name. Heavenly Father, this is our theme this morning. We want to restore and be see the restoration of your glory in our midst. We want to bring glory to your name. We want Jesus Christ to be made the focus and the center of all that we do here this morning. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will give us a heart open to worship, to praise, to glorify in you. We pray that you will come and speak to our hearts. You will touch them. You will transform them. And as we live this morning, this encounter with you, may our lives reflect that in everything we do or say. We put everything at your feet, the feet of the cross, and we ask that in the power of your Spirit, we may know your blessing today and your glory may be revealed among us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. O Lord, restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. The harpers.
Oh,
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much. This is indeed our prayer that the name of the Lord will be restored in our midst in His church today. How much we need that in these challenging times, in these very challenging times indeed. And so this morning we have another reading, the fifth in the book of Joshua. And we looked last week as the people of God have been given that incredible promise to demolish the walls of Jericho, how they enter it and how God has fulfilled that promise to them. Now it's a step closer to actually entering the land that God has promised them. It was just Jericho between them and the promised land. And this morning we hear a reading where from the first six chapters of Joshua, there is victory, there is celebration, there is incredible joy in the camp. But now something happens, that celebration and that joy is somehow subdued. And to have a look and a glimpse of that, of what happens next in this incredible episode of Israelites' life and a relationship with God, Kirsty is going to read for us chapter 7, the first 11 verses of Joshua chapter 7.
But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on their slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, and they have put them with their own possessions.
Thanks be to God for his word. Not a very nice reading. It doesn't make you will not again no read this story kind to your people, to your children at bedtime. It's a very, very difficult passage, and I must say I've been struggling with it in preparation for this Sunday morning, but I'll do my best to bring out what I feel the Lord has given me. So we live in a world that is so conflicted. The scripture reminds us that our battle, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we want to acknowledge this in our prayers this morning, in our prayers of intercession. And Penelope very kindly agreed to lead us this morning into those prayers. So Penelope, I'll hand it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Sovereign Lord, Creator and Sustainer of this vast and beautiful universe, we worship you. Above all, we worship you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died a painful death for the sins of the whole world. Lord, we give you thanks. As you have commanded, we bring our requests to you. First, for our government, taking decisions that affect all of us in a situation they could not have imagined. Give them wisdom and understanding, and the perception to see what is right and the courage to do it. Similarly, for governments around the world, especially where there is unrest, as in Myanmar, civil disobedience among the farmers of India, and violence in places like Nigeria, the Middle East, and many other places. Lord, have mercy on the peoples of the world and guide their leaders. Lord, worldwide, so many are living in fear, anxiety, grief. Some are ill, some have lost loved ones, some are hungry, homeless, helpless, and desperate. Lord, bring your comfort and your healing. Strengthen those who bring that help and compassion. In the health service, in care homes, in food banks, and in many different ways. Protect those dealing with the emotional stress of being surrounded by so much suffering. Protect those whose jobs bring them in daily contact with the public, on the buses, on the trains, in the shops and in offices. And for ourselves, Lord, remake us daily by your love. Keep us faithful in prayer, and may we be light and salt wherever we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you very much, Penelope, for prayers that we bring before the Lord in these challenging times. It is the scripture, the prayer, and meetings like this that break the strongholds that keeps us from enjoying the promise of God in our present circumstances. Yet it's something that we must continue to do. I will talk about that in a minute or two. Before that, the harpers will lead us in another lovely song, It's Your Blood. It is only through the blood of Christ that we are cleansed, we are purified, we are purchased. Now listen to this. We are made children of God. No employees, no servants even, but we are made children of God. We are co-heirs with him. Not even heirs, co-heirs. It means that the blessing that God gives us, it is the same, the blessing he's got from the Father. It's mind-blowing, this is. Absolutely mind-blowing. And so we will sing together, we will worship, we will praise the Lord. As the harpers lead us, it's your blood, and for which our hearts and lives are forever grateful, the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Daniel, Renee. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you. The harpers are incredible. Lovely voices there. A lovely, lovely song. Hey, I can't wait for the time we'll be in church again together to sing this and probably sing. I love it when we sing this and we share the bread and the wine. I absolutely love that. And I can't wait for that moment again. I thought whenever that is going to be, we're going to be back in church and worship together. I think we're going to have a couple of hours just worship and praise and singing hallelujahs together, bringing glory to him. No sermon. Yeah. Just praising the Lord. Some of you might say, oh, no sermon. What's going on? Now, so we're coming back to Joshua chapter 7. Well, as I mentioned before, this has been six chapters previously of victory, of triumph, of good time between the Israelites and the Lord. And the Israelites have been very, very good. They obey God's command on taking the Jericho. But I need to correct myself. I just said the word taken, but Joshua didn't take Jericho. It was given to them as a promise. As we read in that first verse of chapter 6, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. This is before the walls fell down. You know, this is before the Israelites even sat down to think and reflect, actually, can we fight these guys? It was like Ice Age men fighting against the latest weaponry of almost 20th century. There was that big difference between them to be able to conquer them. And that's what I'm saying to you. Joshua didn't conquer Jericho, didn't take it. It was God that has given it to them. If you remember, God said to them, put me in the center. Put the Ark of the Covenant in the center. Put priest at the top on one side. Put priest on the other side, at the back. Put soldiers at the front, put soldiers at the back. And as long as they did march according to what God said to them, and they did exactly what God told them to do, they been given the promise, Jericho as such. It's incredible that the key word in Joshua is the word inheritance. It is used 60 times. This is something that we need to get our heads around it, because we think we've got the right to get something. Because we believe in God, we think salvation, then it is something that we deserve, then we achieve. As long as we are good, as long as we say the right thing, pray at the right time, read our scripture, then we have gained, we have taken that salvation. The word is inheritance. Remember, and I like what Paul says to us as Christians. He says, you are co-heirs with Jesus Christ in him, in his blessing, in his grace, in his forgiveness. It means everything that God has given us in Christ is been given to us. We inherit that. We haven't paid for it. We don't deserve it. It's just been passed on to us. I want you to hold on to this key word. In the book of Joshua, inheritance is the key word. Not taken, but given. And we need to learn to live out of inheritance, not circumstances. It's a big difference. We need to learn to walk with Christ out of his love, of his inheritance given to us through the cross, through Jesus Christ, and rather than our circumstances. So that's the key word. The key theme of the book Joshua is stronghold. And this is that I want to talk to you a little bit in this chapter 7, in this message this morning. What happened? The Israelites went into Jericho, just about crossing into the promised land. But it was this massive Jericho before crossing into the promised land. It was this massive stronghold that had to be conquered, had to be taken over. And the main theme of the whole book is the stronghold. The whole Christian ethos and at the core of our Christian word with God, there is this word called stronghold. Let me read what Paul says to us, to the church at Corinth. He says, the weapons we fight, the weapons we fight with, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Strongholds. By the way, have you got your papers from Debbie to keep coloring while I do the preaching? Brilliant. We said we will like to show and share. At the end of the sermon, we'd like to see your lovely work of art. I know you're all arty people, so we will show and share at the end. So keep on coloring while I do the preaching. Thank you, Stephen Elliott. So that's the key word, is inheritance. The key theme, it is stronghold. And let me tell you something. Satan will not, someone to put an idea that Satan will not loiter, will not stand, will not bear to remain in the place where truth is proclaimed. So that brings me to a definition of stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, it is something that we believe about God that is false. I'm not good enough for God to forgive me. That's probably the stronghold of guilt. I will never go to forgive that person. Is that the stronghold of resentment? Probably. But those strongholds, they're keeping us from enjoying God's blessing, from entering into the promise that he has for us as his people. Let me make one thing clear here. I believe that we as Christians, as we trust God, as he pour out his Holy Spirit within us, we cannot lose salvation. The devil cannot separate us from Christ's love ever. Read Romans 8 if you don't believe me. Nothing can separate us from Christ's love. But what the devil does, it can take away the joy of salvation, the joy of our relationship with Christ, the joy of us living every day as Christ would like us to. We don't lose salvation, but we lose our joy. And that's what I want to put across to you this morning. This is what a stronghold does in our lives. This is what the Israelites have faced as they had six chapters of conquering and victory and obedience to God into the seventh chapter where they disobey. What happened? They left Egypt, the desert, the wilderness of Egypt, but Egypt has not left them. They were still having a little bit of Egypt inside of them. And what happened in chapter 7? After they obey God in chapter 6 with putting Christ, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant right in the middle, in chapter 7 all that's blown away. Joshua didn't go to inquire about the Lord and see what the next step is. Joshua didn't go to pray and ask the Lord what the next step is. The Israelites didn't do what the Lord told them. The Lord told them in chapter 6, in verse 19, it said like this: all the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Well, is one man, that Achan guy, who didn't obey God. He put some of those treasuries, some of those gold and silver into his bag, thinking that nobody will ever find him out, nobody will ever see what is done. But one aspect of this is that a stronghold, whether it's in our lives, it does affect our fellowship. The stronghold of one individual can affect the life, the worship, the community per se at large. It was one guy, Achan, the sin, but all the Israelites paid a price for this in chapter 7. A very interesting, a very gloomy story here. But it's something that we need to hear from the truth of God's scripture today. This stronghold, it's a philosophy. It's an idea, as I said, that we have about God that in Corinthians, as we read, it says it's actually stands against the knowledge of God. This is what the scripture said. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. You see, many of us even have the problem to believe that we have been fully forgiven, that grace is given for free. This is a stronghold. How many of us wake up in the morning and say, I can't do this, I can't do the other, my back is aching, my head is spinning around, my knee is... And as you get to my age, this is part of the conversation more and more and more. When I was a younger man, we talk about, you know, are you playing football today? Are you playing tennis tomorrow? What are you doing? Now is, how is your knee? How is your back? How is your ear? That's the kind of conversation, isn't it? And I realized over time that this is a stronghold, helping me enjoy what God has for me during the day. I can't do that because my back is not so brilliant. I forgot to get my medicine or whatever. It's a stronghold that we need to take captive. And every thought, as this Paul reminds us, we need to take captive under Christ. You know, every thought that comes into your mind, you don't need to think it. The scripture tells us you just reject it. Make it captive. Don't play with it. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we glance for too long at the devil. We are not called to glance at him. Yeah, we are not called to ignore him. Yeah, we can glance at him. But in the end of the day, we need to focus on Christ. This is the big problem with the Israelites in chapter 7. They have started to put their focus more on the devil, on their own strongholds, on their own problems, on their own attitude to the words we're bringing with them out from Egypt. As long as we do that, as long as we don't obey God anymore, as long as Christ is not the focus of our life, then the devil will step in. The strongholds will take place into our lives. The greatest news in the world is not that God made the world, but that God loved it. Loved it so much to break those strongholds. We glance at the devil, but we do focus on Christ, not on the devil. I read a book, and one of the best books I've ever read in my ministry. It's early on when I moved to this country in 1992. I came into this country with a lot of fears of strongholds against communism, against being in prison, against being fully free to worship God in church and enjoy Him. I had strongholds of traditionalism, strongholds of communism, all sorts of strongholds in my life. And I spent months and weeks and even years to pray and be released from them. And I read this book by one of our Baptist ministers who recently retired and now lives in Manchester and works with me on the accreditation of minister, is Nigel Wright. And the book is called The Fair Face of Evil. Nigel Wright, I think, is out of print, but if you ever find a copy of that book, buy it. He so much puts the devil in his place, and he encourages not to give him too much credit and too much honor and to dwell too much on him, but to focus on Christ, because this is what our calling as Christianity is. What breaks strongholds in our midst, and I'm going to close with this in a minute, it's meeting together, worship and praise. How many of us go to work or used to go to work in the car and put a CD before you get home and immerse yourself in worship? If you run, instead of listening to I don't know what, put some Christian music. When you watch the TV, after Netflix is doing one of the greatest, it's become one of the biggest companies because a lot of people watch TV, and I'm guilty of that myself. Rather than watch Netflix, we can watch something that is uplifting on our TVs. What breaks strongholds is worship, fully immersing worship of Jesus Christ. What breaks strongholds? It is scripture. It is listening to God's word, learning it, and understanding that it's only the word of God that will replace false strongholds that we have, false views that we have about God. And finally, again, one of the very important, it is prayer. Scripture, worship, prayer. This is what we do. This is who we are as Christians. This is what breaks the strongholds. Meeting like this, together to pray, meeting individually in our rooms, in the war room of prayer, to bring glory to God in there. Scripture, prayer, and worship breaks the strongholds in our lives. Sin will enter the camp, but we need to be reminded that Christ has broken the chains of sin. Sin will run rampant if we let him so. Strongholds will take very easily hold of our lives, whether we recognize it or not, whether we believe in it or not. The cure is to confess in prayer, is to continue to praise, and is to immerse yourself daily into God's word. Nothing that you don't know before, that you've never heard before, but how hard it is to do. The walls will come down because the battle belongs to the Lord, as I said last week, that you and I are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. This promised land has been given to us, and we look in the next few chapters how the joy of living in that land for something that the Israelites never worked, pick up grapes and eat honey and work lands that were never belonged to them. What a blessing that has been to the whole Israel. Yet somehow, to their strongholds that they carry with them from Egypt and even further before that, they continue to disobey God. Yet Christ's grace breaks through and he brings them back into his love and to his care. God, the good news is not, as I said, that God has made the world, but that he loved it. The good news today is that God loves you, and he will love you to enjoy full relationship with him in his fullness, to know that joy of guilt released, of forgiveness given totally and fully to you, of joy of celebration. I want to pray that whatever strongholds you might have, go and ask the Lord to reveal you what that is. No long ago, I had to go through a list of them, trust me. From control to fear to anxiety to stress to worry to whatever, and to give them to the Lord. Go and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, take some time and ask the Lord to show you what the stronghold is in your life. What holds you back from enjoying him? I promise you, you'll see the walls falling down and tumbling down. Whatever there may be, stress, worry, fear, bereavement, whatever it is, the Lord will give you the victory because you are co-heir with him into his kingdom, and all blessing belongs to you. Let me just pray and then we'll sing our final song before you're going to show me all those lovely coloring papers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace in our life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross through whom you have broken the strongholds of sin in our lives. Thank you that we have victory through Jesus. Thank you that we have eternal life and the seal of the Holy Spirit to take us there. Father, I pray for me as I pray for my brothers and sisters, that if there are any strongholds in our lives, you will show them to us and you will break them, that we may enjoy fully our relationship with you, that we may have joy in you and know the fullness of your blessing into our lives. Lord, forgive us for the time we chose sin and the pleasure that brings, all being momentarily, instead of choosing you, instead of making you the fountain and the source of all joy. Forgive us when we replace you at the core of our hearts with lesser things. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to continue the good work, knowing full well that nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus. Nothing and no one. And we thank you, we worship you, and we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so can I see some of you before you go to sleep? If you've got the papers, Anybody has done the coloring this morning? Oh, look at Steve Elliott. He's done magnificent work. Well done, Steve. We got Debbie. Is that you or Steve has done that? Debbie's done it. Oh, look at that, Amy. And who's that? It's Nathaniel that did it. Oh, Nathaniel did it. And look at that, Debbie did that. It looked like chicken pox. Oh, who's that there? The Baba Rindis. May the Lord bless your name. Wonderful. So who we've got here? The Ellershaw family. Oh, look at what Layla did. Oh, look at that. Is that you, James? Did you do that? Easy. Look at what Easy. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look what Easy has done. How beautiful. We love God. How, oh, we do indeed. Well done, Lizzie. Easy. I love that. Absolutely beautiful. Let me have a look. Has anyone else done anything else? Jamie, I didn't see you. Can you put your up? Oh, you naughty man. You've got a stronghold of enjoying the Lord. Yeah, you've got sermon notes. Is the stronghold holding you back from enjoying the coloring? That's good. I can see Dr. Ness has done one, but he doesn't want to show us. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Beatrice. Okay, I'll hand it over to the harpers, and as a beautiful song that they've chosen for us. I've never heard it before. Some of you might have. It's a lovely song of repentance that kind of carries the echo of our prayers just now. It's by the Stuart Townend, I think it is, and someone else, the Gettys, I think. So I'll hand it over to the harpers. Thank you. Let me give you a blessing that I believe addresses some of the strongholds that we might be feeling at times in our lives. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. The stronghold of guilt is broken. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. The stronghold of incredible held back. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. This is the stronghold of incredible salvation. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. This is the fear of death as a stronghold. Jesus was made a curse that we might enter into his blessing. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance, the stronghold of materialism. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory, the stronghold of low self-esteem. Jesus endured our rejection that we might share in his glory and victory, that we might have acceptance with the Father. This is the stronghold of rejection. Our old man was put to death in him, that the new man may come to life in us. Glory be given to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. And I hope you can join us for the cup of tea, coffee, chat in our own rooms. Zoom rooms. Thank you, Shona.